I call the Legacy Committee, Finance Committee to order. A quorum is present. So welcome, everyone. Thank you for attending this, our legacy for today. First order of business is to approve our prior meeting minutes, and I believe Representative Olson has perused them. Representative Olson, have you had a chance to peruse them in the April 2nd minutes?
I have, Mr. Chair, and I would move their adoption.
Very good. Move for adoption. All in favor of approving the minutes from April 2nd, please say aye. Opposed? Motion carries. So today is the day. This is our omnibus bill. My good friend, Co-Chair Vang, we will look forward to hearing your presentation on the omnibus bill. Just a quick note before I won't forget, but I hope we won't run out of time. This omnibus bill, as you all know, those in the audience and those in here, it doesn't happen by just us members. We have a great staff that works diligently, sometimes duplicatively, meaning they have other committees, to put together this great bill. So I want to thank our chairs or our staff and all the chairs who worked so hard to put this together. Co-Chair Vang, you and I worked well together. It is very evident that Minnesota is in good hands because Democrats and Republicans can come together for the greater good of Minnesota. And we're spoiled to be in the Legacy Committee because that's the committee that we do so much good and we get along so well. Wouldn't you agree, Co-Chair? So with that, I'd like to personally thank my committee administrator, Amy Zipko, who without her, I would probably still be walking over here from the COB to try to get here on time. So Amy, thank you so very much. And also my LA to my left, Karina Nelson. She's new to me as this year and is phenomenal. And without her, I'd probably still be in Delano. So thank you. And then my friends on the Democrat side, it's been a joy to work with you. I was never a big legacy guy to begin with. I voted against it in 2008 and only voted for one legacy bill in my 14 years here, and that was Bob Gunter when he was chair. But with Chair Lilly convinced me over the last 6 months or 3 months, and I even have my pin that I proudly wear because I am now a believer of the great things that this legacy money has done over the years, and particularly this session because it's Co-Chair Vang and I's chair. So we really put together a good bill. It's a very responsible bill, we believe. It puts money where the Constitution says it should be and where the taxpayers want it to be. So with that filibuster, I will turn it over to Co-Chair Vang. And you, Chair Vang, you move the DE1 to get the bill in the shape that you want it. So you have the mic.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the House File 2563B. We refer to the Committee on Ways and Means, and I also have the DE1 amendment to get the bill in the shape of the agreement as we have made, I move the DE1.
Very good. Chair Vang moves the DE1 amendment. Is there any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Co-Chair Vang.
Yeah, I also have a technical amendment, the A2, so I'll move the A2 to get the bill in the shape of the co-chairs would like. Basically, what this amendment does is it corrects the dollar figures in the parks and trails, fixes the names for Conservation Corp, so it's consistent throughout that article, and then clarifies on the capital projects.
Very good. Thank you, Co-Chair Vang. We spoke yesterday about this amendment, and it is in a technical nature, and therefore we believe that you all should vote for it. So all in favor, or if there's any discussion on the A2 amendment. If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries for that amendment, and that is adopted to that bill. There is one more amendment, which is the A1, correct, which is an extension of a prior appropriation that was also agreed to by our co-chairs, by the great and ever-dutiful Vice Chair, Mr. Vice Chair Scrubba.
Thank you, Chair. My amendment is just an extension of a project that's working up in northern Minnesota at Ash River. You know, construction time just takes time, and they just need an extension. So that's what this amendment is for.
So, Vice Chair Scrabble, this is for your district.
I move.
You move your amendment?
I move that we approve Amendment A1.
All right. This is, if there's any discussion, this is now the time to give Vice Chair Scraba a little ribbing. Representative Lilly, anything? All right. Representative Lilly.
Mr. Chair, is this going towards that sculpture that looked a lot like you?
I believe it's a singing program for...
It's a ground... Mr. Chair. It's a ground sculpture with for wastewater, yes.
Very good. Seeing no further discussion, thank you, Representative Lilly, Representative Scraba. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All right, well, the bill is now in the form that we can all discuss. And with that, I turn it over to Vice Chair, or I'm sorry, Co-Chair Vang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think you gave a good introductory remarks already, and I'll save my remarks for the closing. So I'll just defer to nonpartisan staff to explain the DE1 as adopted.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Hagemeyer.
Mr. Chair, I'll go through the spreadsheet of the legacy bill. It's the spreadsheet and members packets. It's dated 4-7 at 9:39 a.m. on the upper right-hand corner. I'll keep this fairly brief. The first three pages are the Outdoor Heritage Council recommendations, and these are the Outdoor Heritage Council revised recommendations that were presented from the Outdoor Heritage Council earlier. On the third page, on line 117, you'll see the total appropriation of $162,111,000. That is slightly over the 5% reserve amount, but it does, the bill includes a $120,000 cancellation, which brings it right in line with the 5% reserve requirement. On line 122, you'll see starting on line 124, 125, 126, there's three carry forward appropriations, or basically just an extension for previous appropriations in the bill. And then on line 129, you'll see the cancellation for that $120,000. And that's all I have on the Outdoor Heritage Fund. If you turn to the fourth page, you'll see the Clean Water Fund. And the Clean Water Fund is largely the Clean Water Council revised recs. There's a slight adjustment between the first year and second year to make the LCC website happen in the first year. It's only $7,000. The totals are the same. On line 115, you'll see the Clean Water, line 215, you'll see the total appropriation for the Clean Water Fund at $144,625,000 the first year and $159,301,000 the second year. And that brings the bill right at the 5% reserve amount. And then with the adoption of the A1 amendment, you'll see a carry forward in a future spreadsheet for the Ash River project that Representative Scraba had just presented the amendment on. On line 220, you'll see the start of Article 3. This is the Parks and Trails Fund. The Parks and Trails Fund largely adheres to the 40-40-20 split that's been happening for a while. However, in this bill, you'll see on line 225, line 229, and line 234, there are direct appropriations or a carve-out in DNR's case for wilderness inquiry for a grant to them. In total, it is $250,000 each year, so $500,000 total that's going to wilderness inquiry out of each of those funds. In total, there's $61.4 million the first year being appropriated and $68.7 million in the second year, and this brings it close to 5% reserve. There's also, you'll see with the A1 amendment, there's an adjustment to the bill for the $41,000 that's canceling past appropriations and reappropriating them. The A1 just clarifies that it goes to the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Commission instead of having a new section. So the percentage gets slightly off, but it was their money that they're canceling to begin with. It brings it to the 5% reserve. On line 248 through 254 are carry forwards that are being included in this bill. These are past appropriations that need an extension. And then line 257 and 258 are the cancellation of those past appropriations for the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Commission. On line 260 is the start of the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. I'll go through these in a little bit more detail. Line 263 is the State Arts Board. There's you'll see under the governor's recommendations, the governor only makes a recommendation on the statutory 47% for the arts. The rest of it is open without a governor's recommendation or a council recommendation of any kind. So on line 264, you'll see there's $67.6 million appropriated for arts and arts access initiatives. On line 265, there's $12.6 million for arts education, and then line 266, there's $4.2 million for arts and cultural heritage. In total, those three appropriations amount to 47% of the total amount being appropriated. And then on line 269, you'll see an addition of the creative art, music, performances, and productions. This would be for $400,000. And then there's youth literary grants on 270 for $500,000. In total, there's $85.458 million going to the State Arts Board. And line 272 is Minnesota Historical Society. There's just under $14 million for statewide historic and cultural grants. Statewide History Program receives $15.5 million, and then History Partnerships is $5.75 million, and then State Survey of Historical and Archaeological Sites is $750,000, as is the Digital Library. And then there's two grants being run through the Historical Society. One is a Historical Competitive Building Grants, and that's $1.5 million, and then the Special Guerrilla Units, Veterans, and Families is $250,000. In total, there's $38.5 million being appropriated to the Historical Society. On line 286 is the Department of Education. There's one appropriation for $6 million for the regional public libraries. On line 290 is the Department of Administration. There's $2 million from Minnesota Public Radio, $4.1 million for Ampers Public Radio. There's $9.5 million for Minnesota Public Television. You'll see the Wilderness Inquiry Canoemobile is not funded in here because it's funded in the Parks and Trails Fund. On line 296 is the Como Zoo and Conservatory at $3 million. The Great Lakes Aquarium is receiving $500,000. And then there's $150,000 for the Bakken Museum. In total, there's $19.25 million being appropriated to the Department of Admin. The Minnesota Zoo is receiving $2.35 million on line 333. Line 335 is the start of the Humanities Center. Humanities Center Programs is receiving $5 million. There's $25,000 for outreach on grant opportunities from the Humanities Center. And then there's $1 million on the bottom of that page for children's museum grants. And then flipping to the last page, you'll see just under $17.5 million for community identity and heritage grants. And then of that amount each year, $1.5 million must go for community festival grants. On line 356 is the ethnic media grants for $500,000. On line 358 is Youth Poet Laureate Grants for $200,000. The Neomuralismos has $100,000 in the bill. There's Lundstrom Center for Performing Arts for $200,000. And then United Hmong Family has $350,000. In total, there's just under $25 million being appropriated to the Humanities Center. On line 376 is the Indian Affairs Council. There's three programs being funded: grants to Minnesota tribal nations to preserve Dakota and Ojibwe languages at $850,000, Dakota and Ojibwe Indian educational and immersion efforts at $850,000, and then protection of Indian graves at $300,000. In total, the Indian Affairs Council receives $2 million. Under the line 283, section 10 is Department of Agriculture. There's $500,000 per year for the county fairs, and then there's $250,000 per year for the Minnesota Future Farmers of America, and then of that amount, up to $125,000 may be used for the 100 years event. In total, there's $1.5 million being appropriated to the Department of Ag, and then on line 389 is $4,000 for the LCC legacy website where all the projects get posted. In total, there's just under $180 million being appropriated in the bill for the Arts Fund, and that puts it right at the 5% reserve. And then on line 397, you'll see there's one extension for the St. Paul Cultural Art Installation. This is the Suni Lee mural, I believe. And that's all I have on the spreadsheet, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Hagemeyer, for your good work as well. Chair Vang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think next we can go to the policy language for nonpartisan staff.
Very good. Thank you, Co-Chair Vang. I'm going to just say Chair Vang. Co-Chair gets too long. Next is Ms. Taylor. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair and members, I'm just going to point out the one policy provision that's in Articles 1 through 3, and that's in the Clean Water Fund. That would be page 44 of the DE1 amendment. On the bottom of that page, you'll see Section 12. What this section would do would be to require the Clean Water Council recommendations that they submit to the legislature to be broken out by fiscal year instead of a biennial total like they are now.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. And next, let's see. We're... Yes, Ms. Malene.
Chair and members, Mary
Davis.
Davis.
Sorry, Ms. Davis. Yes.
Oh, no worries. Mary Davis from House Research. I'm going to talk about the policy portions of the arts article, which start on page 70. The first one is section 12, and it adds two new requirements to the statute that governs arts and cultural heritage grants, 129D.17. And the first one is to be considered for a grant or funding. A grantee needs to provide their most recent 990 tax form. And the second one relates to arts and cultural heritage funds and capital construction, provides that it can't be used for capital construction or new buildings, except when it's a historical site or accessibility modifications and for exhibits and art installations and related construction costs. Section 13 is a 2023 appropriation, and it is just updating a grantee's name and also allowing the funds to be used until 2027.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Sorry about the sometimes an old man thinks he can read things without the glasses, so I try to do a little bit of both to construct my eyes to not always depend on this. So, Ms. Davis, thank you very much. Ms. Taylor, Mr. Hegemeyer, thank you for your good work. We couldn't, this could not be done without your very good work, especially as we go back and forth the last 5 days or so. With that, Chair Vang, we have some testimony. And then our first testifier. Thank you, Ms. Sipko. She's always so good to make sure I'm on track. Our first testifier is Lisa Barajas. She's the Executive Director for Community Development Metropolitan Council. And then after her will be Laura Preyes, Statewide Programs and Planning Manager for the DNR Parks and Trails. So the second testifier can get up. Oh, you're all coming up together. Great. Strength in numbers. We like that. So for the record, you know the routine. You can state your name and begin your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'm Lisa Barajas. I am the Executive Director of Community Development at the Metropolitan Council, and I'm joined by my colleagues, Laura and Gina. I'll let you introduce yourselves. I'm pleased to be here today at the Metropolitan Council. We're responsible for overseeing the regional parks and trails work in partnership with the 10 regional parks implementing agencies. So really appreciate the opportunity to present this morning on House File 2563 at Article 3 in partnership with my colleagues Laura Preyes from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources and Gina Hugo from the Sherburne County Parks Director representing Greater Minnesota Parks and Trails. Our organizations have appreciated the opportunity to present to this committee earlier this session about the important work made possible by the Parks and Trails Legacy Fund. And we really appreciate the inclusion of the Parks and Trails Legacy funding in your omnibus bill and for your support of the ongoing 40-40-20 funding agreement. Legacy funds have been a game changer for the state and regional parks and trails of Minnesota. They've made a big difference for our youth and families to Minnesota's and providing that access to Minnesota's abundant natural resources. Collectively, we share a common concern about the language in Article 3 that would circumvent our time-tested project selection processes and would require allocating part of the parks and trails funding directly to a separate nonprofit organization that is outside of the state and regional system. The state constitution dedicates the Parks and Trails Legacy Fund to parks and trails of state and regional significance. This is a different focus and approach than the programming and outreach work of Wilderness Inquiry. So at this time, I'd like to pass it to my DNR colleague, Laura.
Thank you, Lisa.
Ms. Preyes.
Thank you, Chair. Chair McDonald, Chair Vang, members. My name is Laura Preyes. I'm the Statewide Programs and Planning Manager with the DNR Division of Parks and Trails. Our program represents, or our department represents, the state system of the Parks and Trails of state significance. Again, DNR is likewise appreciative of the opportunity to be here today with Met Council and Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails. All three partners have been working very closely for many years to advance the 25-year Parks and Trails Legacy Plan, which is a really powerful plan. As my colleague Lisa Beth highlighted, the Parks and Trails Legacy Fund and this plan are focused on parks and trails of state and regional significance. We share the same concern that a special direct appropriation to an organization that is outside the scope will diminish our shared ability to meet the priorities outlined in the 25-year plan. In addition, DNR, Met Council, and Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Commission have all developed very successful and efficient approaches to distributing that funding, which have proven key to our ability to advance this plan, and also key to our ability to achieve really innovative approaches and reach so many people in the state of Minnesota. We had the opportunity to speak about that at the last time that we presented, and we're happy to talk with you anytime about those innovative efforts that we're doing. In sum, adding individual line items to the Parks and Trails Legacy Fund is not consistent with the successful partnership approach that we have to date. It makes the overall process more unpredictable and less effective at funding some of these critical priorities. So we would respectfully request that the committee consider other funding sources for this important work. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to my colleague Gina Hugo with Greater Minnesota Parks and Trails to close out our shared testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Good morning, Co-Chair McDonald, Co-Chair Vang, and committee members. My name is Gina Hugo, Parks Director for Sherburne County, testifying today in my role as Chair of Greater Minnesota Parks and Trails and on behalf of our partner organization, Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Commission. The legacy funding, along with the commission, have played an essential role in expanding outdoor recreation opportunities for everyone living in the 80 counties in Greater Minnesota by developing a network of 81 regional parks and trails that are the bridge between Minnesota's iconic state parks and trails and local ones. Wilderness Inquiries is an excellent organization, but the funds allocated to them through the proposed language would be better used through existing local partnerships throughout the state. The legacy funds granted through the commission will connect more people to the outdoors. The commission works creatively to develop new granting opportunities because they listen to us, their constituents. They're always improving operations to maximize the limited resources. They've developed a special Connecting People to the Outdoors grant that enabled Sherburne County to partner with Stearns and Isani counties to purchase a winter sports equipment fleet so that we can provide and encourage new users to learn and try winter sports. Similarly, the city of Duluth operates a mobile mountain bike fleet, providing lessons and experiences to underserved youth and adults at no cost. And now, because of this program, we have three tracked wheelchairs in our Greater Minnesota system that enable mobility impaired park and trail users to actually get out on wilderness trails and connect with nature in a meaningful way. And this is just three of many wonderful examples. The commission is better positioned to meet the needs of our communities and connect people to the outdoors. Please don't take $50,000 from their work. We really thank you for your time, and thank you for your hard work moving this bill forward.
Thank you, ladies, for your presentation. We are certainly aware that you have concerns where we parked the Wilderness Inquiry within Parks and Trails, so we hear you. So thank you. Next,
thank you.
We'll have Meg Kruger, who has she's with the Programs Adventures Director for Wilderness Inquiry. So, Ms. Kruger, for the record, you may state your name and present your presentation.
Thank you, Chair McDonald, Chair Vang, members of the Legacy Finance Committee. Good morning. For the record, my name is Meg Kruger, and I'm the Programs and Adventures Director for Wilderness Inquiry. I want to start by saying thank you for including Wilderness Inquiry in the Legacy Finance Bill. We view this as recognition of the impactful work that we do every year in some 40 communities across Minnesota. Our programming model, known as Canoe-mobile, is unique in that it shows up where kids are in communities and townships across every corner of the state of Minnesota. And Wilderness Inquiry believes that everyone belongs in the outdoors. We make sure every kid, regardless of background, regardless of ability, can participate in meaningful outdoor recreation experiences and hands-on activities that teach Minnesota history and our shared cultural heritage. As an organization, we would respectfully request consideration of our appropriation request included in bipartisan House File 1328, led by co-authors Representative Spencer Igo and Representative Fu Lee from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. We feel this is the best fit for the program content that we deliver with legacy dollars. The DE1 amendment would shift funding to the Parks and Trails Fund, which presents a number of challenges for funding wilderness inquiry programming, given the wide range of locations which we serve. Legacy is an important source of funding for our organization. Wilderness Inquiry matches nearly $3 in philanthropic and earned revenues for every $1 invested by the state of Minnesota. Together, these funding sources help ensure that we can deliver programs that center Minnesota's history, outdoor heritage, and cultural connections to the natural world, the work that we really do and care about. At a flat appropriation level, we'll be able to serve nearly 10,000 Minnesota youth and the caring adults in their lives through our progression of outdoor educational and recreational opportunities, from day-long schoolyard outdoor programs to extended overnight camping adventures across Minnesota's wide range of wonderful public lands. Reductions in legacy support will reduce that impact statewide. Wilderness Inquiry is committed to enriching outdoor and environmental education through highlighting place-based history, multicultural perspectives, and attention to making students' experience accessible, again, regardless of their abilities, regardless of their background. I really do appreciate the time and your consideration today.
Thank you, Ms. Kruger. We hear you as well. It's a good, you know, that portion, you do good work, and it's a bipartisan, because in your program, people row from the left and the right.
That's right.
So
you've been in the boats.
we hear you.
Great.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Our next testifier will be Mr. Brian Rice with the Metropolitan Parks and Trails Implementing Agencies. Mr. Rice, you know the routine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, or Mr. Co-Chair and Madam Co-Chair. My name is Brian Rice. I'm an attorney in the city of Minneapolis. I'm here today on behalf of the Minneapolis Park Board, but also the 10 Metropolitan Park Implementing Agencies. You have a letter in your packet concerning this wilderness inquiry matter. And I spent the morning doing this. I looked at the Minnesota Constitution, Article 11, Section 15, that deals with the charge that the voters had that gave the legislature dealing with this issue, and it provides that 14.25% of the receipts shall be deposited in the Parks and Trails Fund and may be spent only to support parks and trails of regional and statewide significance. That it's to support those parks, not to bring people into the parks, not to fund nonprofit agencies who may start in Minneapolis and go to the range and all over the state. I also, in preparation for this, I went and looked at the last, this will be the ninth biennial appropriation of legacy money starting from 2009 moving forward. There's never been this kind of carve-out put in the park section for a nonprofit entity. And I'd also like to testify about the prelude to this amendment that started in 2009. It took 10 years to get this amendment before the voters, and there was a concern. It started out with the hunting and fishing people, the Sarge Sam's group. They were going to get 1/8 money, not through a constitutional amendment, but through a carve out when the state had a lot of money. The next 1/16 was Parks and Trails. I worked with Senator Lessard and former Commissioner Holston that's been around this room to get to that point. Then there was another 1/8 for clean water, and then the last piece was 1/16 for arts. But when you look at the constitutional language, something happened along the way. There's 33% for Lasard Sams, there's 33% for water. But the share that went to the arts and cultural amount, you'll notice, is 19.75%. And what happened as this log rolled through the legislature, they reduced the funding of parks, where we start at, and increased the arts and cultural amount. It now appears to me that this legislature is now moving the arts and cultural appropriation that Wilderness Inquiries had, which is a great program. My park board has worked with them. All of our metro agencies, all of the state parks have worked with Wilderness Inquiry. It appears to me this legislature is now moving that number into an area which it really, really doesn't belong. I submit that there's a bright line here, and I would submit that I've got the last eight biennial appropriations in this matter. This legislature has never touched that those park numbers. And let me just tell you, in work, it took us 10 years because we saw the problems that park faced. We saw the absence of funding for parks. We saw how difficult it was. We are now on the verge of seeing how much more difficult it's going to be, the challenges this legislature has with the $6 billion deficit to fund these gems. I'll also say this, in those last 8 appropriations, we now have 70 million users using the Metropolitan Park System. It costs $140 million a year. We get about 10% of that money from the legislature and operating budgets. The rest comes from the taxpayers in the metropolitan area. And that's despite a promise by the state to fund 40% of that. So these numbers may seem small, and you wonder, what does it matter? It matters everything. Because we've taken this money. When this legislation passed, there was about 30 million users using the Metropolitan Park System. Now it's more than doubled to 70 million. It's the best health care system this state can ever buy. It costs about $2 for every visit that goes out there, and it's mostly paid by for taxpayers, but it's the healthiest, best income that you can find. So I'll sum it up. You've heard all the responsible park agencies, DNR, Greater Minnesota Parks, Metro Parks, say this is not appropriate. There are the stewards of these parks. We have done a tremendous job, and I just put an exclamation part on it. This is really not the place for this type of an appropriation at all. It hurts St. Paul. It hurts Minneapolis. It hurts every Severn metropolitan county. It hurts every county in this state, and it hurts the DNR. And we'd respectfully ask that you find a better home for it. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Rice. And
I would say, Mr. Chairman, to your initial remark, we also have a Motel 6 policy about the legacy amendment. We always keep the lights on, and we're glad that you've led this committee effort.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Rice. I like that slogan. Yes, each and every one of us that were elected raised our hand on January 14th. Well, some of us on the 14th, some maybe 3 weeks later, I don't know, to defend and protect the Constitution of the state of Minnesota. So I think we have some work to do in that section, and I'm sure that Chair Vang and I in the Senate will see if we can adhere to defending the Constitution that we all took an oath to. Mr. Rice, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it's an absolute worthy oath to defend, because this legacy amendment is one of the best things the voters ever did. They taxed themselves to support the things that Minnesotans love.
I've come to agree with you. Next is the president of the Minnesota Children's Museum, Diane Curzon. Diane, if I didn't pronounce that correctly, you correct me in public. That's fine.
Certainly will.
And you know the record, so go ahead.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Co-chair, Madam Co-chair, and committee members. My name is Diane Curzon, and I'm the president of Minnesota Children's Museum. Thanks for your time today. I want to start by acknowledging the hard funding decisions this committee is faced with in putting together a bill. And I appreciate that children's museums were considered in the process in putting this together. However, I must express my disappointment at the low number included for children's museums in the bill. Minnesota Children's Museum is a statewide asset serving more than 400,000 visitors from all 87 counties each year. We believe firmly in the power of play as a way for children to learn hands-on, explore their own world, have fun, and develop critical lifelong skills. For many years, Minnesota Children's Museum has been a good steward of legacy funds, which have allowed us to develop creative new exhibits and provide opportunities to underserved communities through offering free family nights with partner organizations. The reduction in funds to children's museums is significant in this bill, and it's combined with the division amongst more than a dozen children's museums across the state, and this would have significant impact on our programming. At Minnesota Children's Museum, we would no longer be able to create new exhibits. Work would stop on many exhibits, including a new STEM exhibit that we are partnering with 5th and 6th graders to give them a hands-on learning opportunity on how to develop exhibits, a new storytelling exhibit that would help children develop their vocabulary and communication skills would end, and new exhibits to spark creative thinking, along with the cancellation of facilitated programming. Crucially, we would no longer be able to offer free after-hours special events to Head Start programs and other organizations serving under-resourced and underrepresented families. Legacy funding in the past biennium allowed us to host more than a dozen events for thousands of people. For families, these events are often their first introduction to what a children's museum has to offer for learning enrichment, and it provides the impetus to visit again using one of our access programs. We would also have to eliminate four positions from staff. We want to continue to expand our work both inside our doors and out in the community, and to do so, we need money to support this work. I know that this committee received many, many requests and is working with limited funding, but I hope that the committee can reconsider the funding for children's museums included in the bill. And I urge the committee to consider supporting our work and funding Minnesota Children's Museum at $650,000 a year. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Crizon. And yes, you hit the nail on the head. We had a difficult task. There's a limited amount of dollars. Not everybody's happy. And something that hasn't happened since 1979, we're in a tie. So not everybody's going to get everything we want. It's capitulating and compromising and doing what we can do best. But yet, session's not over, is it? We're not over till the 19th of May. So we hear you as well. And we appreciate your good work you do at the Children's Museum. Okay, next we have Ms. Slatton, Shanna Slatton. She is the Executive Director for CCX Media. Ms. Slatton, thank you for coming to the committee, and we look forward to your testimony. I think I know what I'm going to hear.
I'm sure you do.
So
last
for the record,
but not least today.
You know the routine.
All right, chairs and committee members, my name is Shannon Slatton-Schwartz. I'm the executive director of CCX Media. We cover the northwest suburbs of Hennepin County, and I'm also proud to represent MACTA today, which is an organization of PEG channels operated by cities and organizations like mine across the state. Today, we urge you to include funding for community cable television stations in the Legacy Omnibus Bill. While we recognize that the legislature might not be able to fund our full request that would have a statewide impact on the most stations, we are confident that even a modest investment could be prioritized to help those channels that are in most critical need. As mentioned previously, we promote government transparency by recording and disseminating government meetings on television and online in larger communities like Brooklyn Park and Maple Grove, and in smaller ones like Dassel and Maple Lake, two cities covered by the Sherburne Wright Cable Commission, where they record and post 228 meetings each year that are available to view on demand for their 10 cities. I believe that the news that is produced closest to home is often what hits closest to home. We provide vital hyperlocal news stories for communities all across the state, and we know our coverage matters. Up in Grand Rapids, a viewer wrote this email to Itasca Community Television, sharing appreciation for covering a ceremony that was awarding the Silver Star to a vet who died in the Tet Offensive several decades ago. The viewer wrote, "I have watched and rewatched the segment your team put together on YouTube and Instagram, and I want to say thank you. Thank you for the respect you conveyed. Your piece was a tribute to his courage, and it honored his sacrifice." For 45 years, community television has been funded by cable television franchise fees and PEG fees. As each person moves away from cable television and switches to streaming services, our revenue is directly impacted. We are making difficult choices at our stations to decide how to make ends meet, and we understand that you are making difficult choices in crafting this legacy bill. We are humbly asking that you include a stopgap funding measure in it that would give our community television stations a lifeline that they desperately need. Thank you for your consideration.
Ms. Slatton, thank you as well, and thank you for the good work. For those who aren't familiar or just are being in-tuned through cable television or watching, perhaps, you do good work. You cover local events, debates, school board meetings, city hall meetings, parades, sporting events, and you're very important. And the fight is not done to help the cause. So thank you for the good work, and appreciate your testimony.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Yes. Okay, for those who didn't get a chance to send an email ahead of time or maybe called me, now is a good time to come up. So if you have any other folks, I believe Mr. Bagnoli would like to approach the bench. Oh, we got the zoo first, the good people of the zoo. Yes, that's fine, that's fine. So for the record, you know the routine.
John Frawley, Director of the Minnesota Zoo. Mr. Chair, Madam Co-Chair, committee members, thank you for allowing me to testify. Thank you for including us in the bill and for all the great work that you do serving our state. The Minnesota Zoo is a beloved 47-year-old state agency. Only 37% of our funding comes from the state. We're a very small agency, but I think we have a big impact here in the state. We're a 24/7 operation, 365 days a year, holding over 5,000 live animals. The current appropriation is over 40% reduction from prior years, equaling almost $1.6 $5 million cut for the Minnesota Zoo. We look forward to working with the community to sustain some of the prior levels that we've seen historically. A little bit about the programs. This reduction would have great impact and it caused the zoo to lose the ability to supplement programs such as our on-site animal encounter experiences, our off-site Zoomobile that goes to nursing homes and senior centers and hospitals, reduction of hours of operation from zoo exhibits. It would not allow us to scale up our education that reaches over 100,000 school kids. One of the biggest environmental education programs in the state would be reduced. It would reduce us, our ability to work with different groups of disabilities. It also impacts our special exhibits, which attract all the new audiences to the zoo. Bird shows, educational exhibits for llamas, dinosaurs, our bus scholarship programs, treetop trail programming, our adult programming, all would be impacted. This programming is super important because it brings in new attendance, allowing us to raise that two-thirds revenue that we have to raise ourselves that we don't get from the state. So Legacy has a really big impact in how we run the zoo. So, Mr. Chair, committee members, thank you for hearing our thoughts.
Mr. Frawley, thank you, and I appreciate our meeting earlier in the year and tuning me in on some of the great things you do at the zoo. I don't know anyone that's not a fan of the Minnesota Zoo. If there are some, speak now or forever hold your peace. So you do good work. It's a great institution to Minnesota. I look forward to bringing my grandchildren there. Actually, I think Ruby's, my grandchild, is going there Saturday with the other grandparent, so I'm a little jealous. Yeah, so we hear you as well. We understand the situation. Thanks. But keep up the good work, and thank you. Whoever else would like to testify, please come up to the table and introduce yourself for the record. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, committee members, thank you so much. I'm Sarah Foss, an executive director of Minnesota Citizens for the Arts. And I just wanted to take a very brief moment today to do something that I don't think you probably hear enough of, and that is thank you. Again, I want to say a thank you on behalf of the statewide arts community. Thank you for your thoughtful and diligent work, and frankly, really smart work you've put together, worked on in putting together this bill. The committee has taken on the enormous task of stewarding legacy dollars, something that, you know, we just heard about in a very thoughtful thoughtful way, and really in specifically to preserve and share our arts, our culture, our history, and telling these things that connect us, tell our stories, and build community across the state. And that's no small responsibility. You've worked and approached this with care and collaboration and a clear understanding of how these investments in arts and culture reach every corner of the state. And you've really strengthened both the people and the place. And for the arts in particular, these are very transformational gifts. And when we look at these things in spreadsheets, especially during session, I really want you to know that these are transformational. As we are fortunate to be able to travel around the state and meet the individuals that these impact, the individual constituents in all of your districts, these investments mean people, and they mean real projects that impact people. And so again, on behalf of the thousands of artists and organizations and communities, they're large, small, urban, rural, they ensure that creativity, connection, and culture continue to thrive in all of Minnesota. And again, beyond the dollars, again, I want to thank you for how you've approached this work. So with listening ears and open hearts and a deep respect for the people and the places that make Minnesota special. That shows in this bill, and it will show in the impact across the state for years to come. So thank you again for your thoughtful leadership, and thank you for your commitment to building a vibrant, creative, and very connected Minnesota. Thank you very much.
Ms. Fossen, thank you for your artistic and positive testimony.
Thank you.
Mr. Molzon, Ms. Zipko, Chair Vang, and Chair I, that was the toughest task, was that arts and culture pool of money. And we wanted to keep it whole. We wanted to make sure it wasn't a Christmas tree of projects and uphold the Constitution in which the people of Minnesota voted on for that section. So a lot of that thank is to both Ms. Zipko and Mr. Molzon for the good work, and then Chair Vang and I as well, so, and all the committees for that matter. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any other testimony from the public? Any other testimony from the public? Don't be shy. Come one, come all, because I'm going to close public testimony in just a few moments. If not, then we're going to open it up for discussion by our great committee members. I really didn't have to hit that, but it just sounded like official that testimony's over for those who are watching on the cameras. Okay, well, I'm going to turn it back to Chair Vang, because this is your bill, and you can call up any discussion if you'd like.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe Representative Xiong has a question.
Representative Xiong. Xiong.
You on the bill. Is that okay? Okay.
On the bill, okay.
Well, I wrote my message here just so that I don't forget, but I do want to thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair, and, of course, the staff here for the incredible work and investment that you're making in the community. Really just a heartfelt thank you for both your leadership and for including funding for the United Hmong family and the SCU Veterans and the Legacy bill here. As a son of an SCU veteran and member of a refugee community, this support is very personal to me. It represents healing, recognition, and a step toward justice for those who serve in silence for far too long. I'm also grateful for the funding for United Hmong family to preserve and uplift Hmong arts and cultural programming. It's one of the largest Hmong nonprofits in the state of Minnesota. And, you know, their work, especially through events like the Hmong New Year celebration, brings community together in pride, identity, and healing. And so this isn't just about a festival or performance, but it's about investing in the soul of people who have overcome displacement, war, and hardship. And so, again, thank you, Chair Vang and Chair McDonald, and everyone who helped make this possible.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Xiong. Anyone else? Oh, Representative Mo Money Hilsley.
Thank you, Chair McDonald and Chair Vang. First of all, I want to take an opportunity to extend gratitude to this committee for the work that has gone into this bill. And like everybody said, this was a really difficult bill to come together because there was some amazing projects and ideas and proposals that were put in front of this committee. With that said, dear committee members, I'm deeply also disappointed that appropriation for the House File 2508 and 2507, specifically the African Career Education and Resource Inc. ACER, was not included in the final bill. Again, this organization has been a critical pillar in advancing equity, civic engagement, and cultural heritage for the community for as long as I could remember. The proposing funding of $250,000 per fiscal year would have supported essential programming, public education, and cultural events that reflects the rich diversity, the diverse contributions of the African communities in Minnesota. And as policymakers, we have a responsibility to uplift and invest in organizations that are doing groundwork to build strong, more inclusive communities. And I have seen ACER do that time and time again. And the best part about this organization, it wasn't just requesting funding for, you know, its own self, it was also uplifting other small organizations who are on the front line doing this work. So the exclusion of this appropriation sends a disheartening message to constituencies who continue to be underrepresented and underserved. So I remain committed to advocating for ACER and similar organizations that amplify the voices and histories of African Minnesotans, and I hope we can work together to ensure that they are not left behind in future legislation. And I know that Chair McDonald had said this is not the end. We have until May 19th, I believe. I hope that we can continue having these conversations. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Chair.
Thank you, Representative. And that is exactly why we put in over $17,468,000 under Community Identity and Heritage Grants. And I think that organization would qualify. If we carved out everything for everybody, few people outside this capital would have an opportunity to fund some important projects. So we believe, Chair Vang and myself and our side and their side, that it was best that we put that money in those grants and have a competitive grant where all those important projects can be vetted in less than a 10-minute presentation. And while us politicians run off to the next committee in such a quick hurry, because that's the way this joint works, that committee, the Community Identity and Heritage Grants, can really vet good projects and make an intelligent, respectable decision on who to give the money to and what programs are best suited that uphold the Constitution for this legacy. So that's my 2 cents, or $17,468,000 worth on that topic. Next we have, who wants to speak next? Representative Lilly? No, Representative Cha.
Thank you, Chair McDonald. Thank you to Chair Vang and Chair McDonald for this legislative session and the hard work that the both of you had put together in this bill and in this committee. And thank you to former Chair Leon, who is still in here, and for the work that you previously done. And to the members of the Legacy and Finance Committee, it's always been a pleasure to be in this committee. So thank you for your leadership. Cheers.
Thank you, Representative Cha. When I was asked to by our speaker, Lisa Damoth, to chair this, I was honored, of course, but the first question I wanted to know was Representative Lillian back on the legacy? Because if he is, I'll strongly consider it. So I would agree with you, Representative Cha. Representative Lilly has been a great inspiration and good help to a new chair, young chair like myself. And I mean young compared to Lilly. No offense. Representative Vice Chair Escraba, do you have something?
thank you, Chair. I know you're really bolstering the Humanities Center people, doing a good job, but I think we do a pretty good job, too. I mean, we do our job, but they have more in-depth. I agree. But the reason, for the most part, you know, negotiations are negotiations, but I guess I'm a little disappointed that the local PEG stations didn't get any funding. I know, Representative, you worked with them. You were very supportive of it, and I thought, you know, maybe somewhere along the line here we could get those folks, because for me, those are our people. Those who we represent. I mean, they're not nonprofits. They're not big business. They're the little people that show up and film us when we're out, and the local people get to see it. And I really would like to see some way that we could, you know, when the testifier said stopgap, I was curious how much stopgap is. But at the same time, if it's not over, it's not over. But I really would like to see some way to get those folks with something. I truly believe Zerium isn't the right thing to do. But here we are. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Vice Chair Scraba. I would have to agree with you. It was not an easy job, and we certainly fought for them. And as our testifier, Ms. Letton, said that it's the very local folks that are reaching in each and every one of our district. So I hear you. Representative Lilly?
Thank you to both the chairs. I, you know, as a former chair, it's you're kind of lucky you only have me. I often had Erdahl and Mary Murphy and about three former chairs, so it was always a little scary, and hopefully I've not been scary. Both of you have taken the task very seriously, and I very much value that, and I think hopefully the people in this room value it, and certainly the committee members appreciate it. It's a tough task, actually, to spend money. You think it'd be easy, but it's it's not. And there's some winners and losers. And, you know, every chair, I told this to Chair Vang, I said every, and I think I told it to you as well, you know, each chair is going to bring their own flavor to the bill. And both of you have. So that's, it's just kind of fun to see where, you know, how the bill moves. You know, we're so lucky as a state to have these funds. You know, as the budget tightens, let's be clear, I mean, this stuff that was passed in this constitutional amendment would very easily be left on the sidelines. Every area of the fund would be, you know, I mean, if you're up against education or you're up against human services or, you know, roads and bridges, you know, a lot of this would be left on the sidelines. So as a state, you know, to have the vision to pass this, you know, the 15, 16 years ago or whatever, to do it and put it on the ballot, and, you know, it really showed a lot of vision. I appreciate the members on this committee, each one of you, and just to hear what you bring to the table, like Representative Olson and his knowledge of history. And, you know, I could go around the room, just each person, Representative Heitzman, his shocking love of trails, which I didn't know, but, you know, I mean, just, and he's a real trail user, and as Melanie, you know, there's so much more to each one of us. And, of course, a lot of the fight focuses on the cultural money, and I just want to take a moment to mention, please pay attention to the other funds and pass the story on to other members. Representative Burkle and I are lucky enough to be on Lazard Sam's, and I know Chair Vang, and I don't know who else is going to be on there in the future, but it's amazing work that the Lazard Sam's money, 33% of this fund is able, and Representative Heitzman served in there in the past, but the amazing amount of work all over the state for all of us. It's not just for hunting and fishing. It's amazing habitat work. And then restoring prairies. I mean, environmentally, it's incredible. Speaker Hortman was very much in for trees, and then certain reps would go, oh, we planted some trees. And I'm like, we bought a whole forest, you know. You know, so it was kind of laughable to me because I was like, man, we're doing amazing things. So, and it's, I hope other members pay attention to Lazard Sam's. Clean water, same thing. One third of our funds, you know, we talk about it, but please look into it. I mean, it's amazing the restoration that's going on all over the state with these funds. And we all, you know, hopefully we have a tour or something, or if you're on capital investment, you see there's some overlap. But it's amazing amount of work that's just done, and working with farmers and clean water. You know, so you think about like Minneapolis, all the water in the metro that we get in the water, you know, it comes from greater Minnesota, so we care. We're all so interconnected, but there's amazing amount of work. Parks and Trails, every one of you basically in your intro, like, hey, what do you kind of care about? And people kind of said, hey, Parks and Trails. You know, there's amazing work all over the state that's done for all of us, and great opportunities. So anyways, I hope you know, we often focus on the cultural part of our fund, but there's amazing work in all the other areas, and you know, we're lucky again to have these funds. We have amazing staff, so thank you. I loved working with them when I was chair, but I appreciate that you're saying how valued they are, and the certain our CAs on both sides. But again, good job, I think. It's, you know, like you said, the bill may change a little as it goes through conference committee, and some of the problems or concerns might be tweaked or whatever. But I think overall it was a very good bill. And I think my goal as chair was to be able to renew it, the legacy committee. And I think you've, in my mind, you've done the, continue to do that, that we should be able to renew it when we go to the voters. Like LCCMR just passed, like, what was it, 77%? So at someday soon, we're going to go to the voters again and hopefully be able to renew this amendment. But, and I have expectations, and I think the people in the crowd have done a good job of being good stewards of these funds too. Keep us out of the news. Do good work, you know. And I mean that sincerely. It's not, you know, because this is voter, it's like special money. So respect that. And so if you do receive money, do good work and keep it up. But there's amazing, I hope you look at all the funds. And as members, that's my kind of my challenge to the members. But and the public. But anyways, good job, chairs, and I appreciate it. I really enjoyed serving on this committee with the other members, too. Sorry, I talked a long time.
Representative Lilly, you do not have to apologize for talking a long time, and thank you for your comments and words. And if you remember at one of our committee hearings when you guys finally showed up, I asked every... Did I just dig you? I'm terribly sorry. That slipped out. Sometimes the Irish don't think before we speak. I asked everyone what their priorities were in the parks and trails, what categories, and mine actually was, even though I'm an artist, was the Sarge Sams Outdoor Heritage, restoring and preserving the beautiful land that God has given us and the animals and creatures. Yes, thank you for your words, and they're wise words. Next, we got Representative Heisman, followed up by Representative Hussein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm going to echo some of the thoughts, I guess, or the sentiment that was just shared by my very good friend, former Chair Lilly, formerly chairing this committee. The things that we're able to do here in each of the funds has great potential. And I'm going to start with the positive, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things that we're going to watch more closely in this committee than we have in the past. When the first promotion started showing up on doors like on the Gander Mountain in Baxter saying, "Sportsmen, vote yes," when this amendment was being considered, I had a lot of questions, and I continue to watch closely now that we have the legacy amendment. And I think the public expects us as legislators to be extremely diligent as to how dollars are spent. And there are so many great things, as we've been hearing from members over the last few minutes, and I think that's good. I especially like that subject area being from the Brainerd Lakes area and the recreational opportunities that have been enhanced and in some cases created. My family has enjoyed those things, especially the trails. I've just recently picked up, I don't know if it's so much a sport as just maybe a additional sort of option, a one wheel. I was over in Woodbury yesterday, put on about 5 miles, just zooming around on the trails and the whole area there, and enjoyed that a lot. I didn't bump into Representative Cha, though, so, you know, that was disappointing, but maybe another day. Yeah, so my whole family enjoys those parts and the other opportunities that I think fall in line with the idea of sportsmen vote yes, the opportunities that Ducks Unlimited and other organizations have created for youth and for folks just trying to get out and enjoy the outdoors and maybe harvest a duck. I'm going to finish up, though, on something that I believe is part of our responsibility, and I was alluding to as a negative, but it can be a positive as folks in the nonprofit world are coming to this committee and asking for dollars or coming to the Lasard Sams or the Clean Water Council. We brought up a number of those organizations' 990s in this committee, and I will just say that we're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to watch closely that dollars are being used within those organizations globally in a way that the public can trust is appropriate and in line with what I think generally they would expect from nonprofits. And when there's excess, that's an embarrassment to the work that we're trying to do. And we need to be diligent as legislators and as those that are doing the good work inside of the nonprofit world, that we take that very seriously. And that'll be an ongoing conversation, at least, you know, at this level, I think more so than it has in the past. And that'll, I believe, be a help to building confidence that we're not just awarding significant dollars, sometimes tens of millions, without a careful process. I have great confidence in the way that the dollars have to come through as grants, and there's competitive process and so on. But then organizations need to be responsible too. So I just wanted to put that on the record today as we're congratulating ourselves a little bit. I too would like to especially thank staff and Mr. Mulzan and Ms. Zipko. They have done just a tremendous job keeping our agendas and our tasks at a high level, and to support the chairs, Chair Vang, Chair McDonald. Good work getting the committee to focus and to highlight the work each day and get the bill through and negotiated. We have some time and some steps left to maybe work on a few things. That's good. I look forward to seeing the final product as it comes through conference committee and back on the House floor on our side. I hope that there's agreement and the finished product is something we can all be proud of. I'll finish there, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Heintzman. Appreciate your comments. And just to, real quickly, the comment about the 990s, it's so important for our nonprofits to be truly transparent. We put it in the bill. And so, too, did we put construction, because we saw many bills come to through that arts and culture. They wanted to build things. Nothing wrong with building things. But if we open that door, continue to open the door, then those construction sites take more money. Those new buildings, those new whatever, take more money than is necessary for an arts and culture grants. And I think that does not uphold the Constitution either. So, Representative Hussein.
Thank you. I just want to thank all the testifiers that came out today and to share their concern. We heard you, as the Chair McDonough say. Second, I want to congratulate both Chair McDonough and Chair Vang for, you know, this task is tough and putting a lot of energy and time and involving us as a vice chair. We want to thank you for listening to us and bringing a good bill that represent the state of Minnesota and the legacy. It's tough for us to fund everybody. We wish we could have billions money so we could fund a lot of people. This is a tough time. I mean, I understand you're doing diligently to, you know, invest and to do what's right for the legacy. You have continued funding for our Clearwater and arts and cultural. Myself and my family, we enjoy it in summertime. I bike a lot, and a lot of my colleagues, and it's a beautiful, you know, to be out there in the parking rec trail and to enjoy it. And I want to thank for both chairs. It takes tough decisions to make and make a change. And at the same time, I want to thank for our staff. We could not get it done anything without them. And I hope, you know, we can all work together, continue funding. And Representative Hessman said, we all ask a 990. We don't fund any organizations, any legacy or workforce or economic development or for the last couple of years. It is, we need to look into those organizations. And I totally agree with you. We need to hold accountability for those people. And we want to make sure that at the same time, we want to fund people that's doing the right thing, the people that serve in underserved community. There's your district and my district, it could be a little bit different. Just to share with you, in Frogtown and my community and district that I come from, it's making $14,000 a year for a household, where some of the greater Minnesota households are making $89,000. It's totally different. So we need to uplift the people that's doing the right thing. One thing that I want to mention, like the museum that I used to go back in the days, the Children's Museum, we still go there. And there's a lot of people that goes there to learn for second language or kids or like that cannot afford some of them to, you know, spend money. We doing a lot of great jobs when it comes to this legacy. and I hope we continue doing a great job. I want to thank all my colleagues. It takes a tough time to all of us to bring it. We might not see all the projects that's funded, but our chairs did the best they can. And I want to thank them, and I want to congratulate both of them. Well done.
Thank you, Representative Hussein, for your good words. Appreciate it. At this time, we're going to, I'm going to turn it over to my partner in crime, Co-Chair Vang, for your comments and closing comments and your renewed motion.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first and foremost, I want to echo thank you to the staff, both nonpartisan and partisan staff. So Janelle Taylor, Brad Hagemeyer, Mary Davis, and partisan staff, Mike Mozon, Amy Zibko, our partisan researchers, Chelsea X. Selzon and Chelsea Ray, and our CLAs, Karina Nelson and Grace Johnson. And last but not least, our committee pages, Eric and Sarah. Thank you so much for all your work and support in this committee. If we stay out late, you guys stay out late with us too. If we come out early, you guys do come out early. So whatever we do, you all do two times the work or three times more the work. So we appreciate all the work that you guys do and helping us create a smooth process for our co-chairs, Chair McDonald and I, to reach an agreement and get a budget for the state of Minnesota. I also want to thank our advocates, community members, the public organizations and stakeholders. This year has once again presented itself its many unique challenges. And as always, of being a part-time legislature and even more so this year has made it more difficult to hear from everybody and anyone. You all have done all your job in making sure that your mission and your work and the work that you do is being heard and being advocated. The chair and I have faced many decisions. There's been a lot of many types of recipients, those who are traditional, those who are new recipients, big or small. But the work and the mission that you all do are no less important than one another. One of the unique things about this committee is that there are no base budgets. We get to do things whether we start from scratch or we carry on the work that the committee has been doing, and we can be a little bit more creative in how we fund things. And that's one of the great things about having this pot of funding is that you all can contribute as part of that process and that creative process in what we can do to make sure that all of your work continues to be funded. Although not everyone is happy, I hope the chairs and I and all the committee members and everyone here who pays attention to this very closely know that we all have a commitment to at least do the most good. And that is what we all strive for. And we are very blessed that this committee has a surplus compared to other committees who have faced cuts and budget reductions. And although we may feel a little bit more slight pressure in this committee this year, we're still thankful of the work that you all have been doing, trying to manage many uncertainties outside of this legislature and also within this legislature too. And so I want to thank all of you for moving that and your flexibility and your adaptability to make sure that your work is being recognized and just know that despite if there's anyone who felt like they didn't get enough time, that just want you all to know that as chairs, we acknowledge the work and we have heard, and it doesn't make our lives any easier, but we have heard and we recognize the incredible work that you all have been doing. And so with that, Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 2563 as amended be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means and instruct staff to make technical corrections as necessary.
Very good. Thank you, Chair Vang. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. House File 2563, as amended, is re-referred to that great committee of ours called the Ways and Means. I have another word for it, but I'll leave it at that. Along with the instruction that staff can make the technical corrections as necessary. So before we adjourn, we're going to leave early. Reminded that, thank you, Co-Chair, for your comments as well. There are a limited amount of dollars, and these are precious dollars by our families and friends. You want a picture, Lily? The dollars are our families, ourselves, our neighbors, and they are limited. And what Chair Lily said to those who are in the room who are responsible for spending that money, we just vote on it. You guys spend it. Be careful, be diligent, be good stewards, and continue up the good work. So again, Chair Vang, you mentioned to the staff, we are a part-time citizen legislature. Oftentimes when we go home, they're almost all the time, they're still here working hard to do the people's work. So we cannot and would not do it without your good work. And you've already named everyone, so I'll leave it at that. And those in the audience, you those who are, after this bill passes off the floor, we will know and watch your good work as well. And just pray that the Senate doesn't mess this up for us, would you? That's all we ask. So if there's no further business, this is our last meeting, so we'll see you all on the House floor when this bill comes to us. We are adjourned.